The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who the people said the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some said John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I said to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. The Gospel of the Lord.
It's such a dangerous question that Jesus asks his apostles that he has to take them away. A good 2 days' journey from civilization out into the nether regions of Caesarea Philippi, in order to ask them, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" And we'd be surprised, I think, by their answer, because it's not, the crowds think that you're a really nice guy, Jesus, and you teach a lot of good things. They don't say that at all. They say, "You're like one of the prophets, John the Baptist," this kind of stringy guy. I don't know, he's like a real challenging figure, someone who's going to shout down the wickedness of the rulers of his age, someone's going to challenge the kings. Could you imagine someone going, we can imagine, unfortunately we see it all too often, but people challenging the president. But think about someone who's actually in control of the known world and have someone go to that person and challenge them for their wickedness, for their deceit, for the fact that they're not following God's ways, right? And to be taken seriously, by the way, by a good number of people. That's the figure of John the Baptist. That's the figure of the prophets of old. That's who the crowds think that Jesus is. They think that he's a prophet, not that he would predict the future, but that he would speak God's word in the present, that he would be essentially God's mouthpiece. Then Jesus asked them, "Well, who do you say that I am?" Not just the prophets, but people who are closer to me, right? His friends, his apostles, his disciples. "Who do you say that I am?" They say, "Well, not God's mouthpiece, God's Messiah. Not just that you will shout down those kings and challenge them, but that you are the rightful king to the kingdom. You are the one then who is to restore proper worship to Israel, by either building or completing the temple, by purging the temple of all that's wrong. You are the one who is to gather the 12 tribes of Israel and to rule the world through them." Right? This is Jesus, God's anointed king. And then Jesus turns around, right? Peter makes that confession and he says, "Yes, on this rock," right? Not sand, not the sand of the temple that we see in the background, the temple authorities and all the rival claimants that are thrown, but on this rock, Peter and his confession of faith shall be based the renewal of the entire world. Because that's, again, we don't see a lot of the language, we don't hear it readily here in this scripture, but it's all here. This is all temple language through and through. And Jesus is saying that this is why he had to take his men away, because he's a challenge to the authorities, a challenge to the temple. And just as the temple was supposed to be the meeting place of heaven and earth, the temple was the place where the gates of the netherworld were, now that's transferred to Jesus' faithful followers. And just as that is transferred to Jesus' faithful followers, so too is the task of the temple. The temple is the meeting place of heaven and earth, the coming together of God and man, which happens now definitively in Jesus, was always meant to be for the renewal of the entire world. And so we, as God's ecclesia, those called together, his church, called apart and called together to follow Jesus, we are to be about the renewal of the entire world. Right? And it sounds like, at least it should sound like, a task that's beyond us. And it is a task that's beyond us. But today we take up our small part, each in our own way. One, to be renewed, and then two, to bring about renewal. One, to be renewed, just like Peter, we come before our Lord with humility, and we say, you are the Lord. You are the Lord of my heart. I turn my life and my heart over to you. Did Peter know that he would be the head of a movement a billion strong 2,000 years on? I don't think so. Do we know what God will make of our lives if we turn them over to him today? We don't. But we do it faithfully. Why? Because Jesus is the Christ. He is the Lord of my life. He is the Lord of the world. So we turn our lives and our hearts over to him. And then as he renews us here, having made that act of humility, having laid down our lives for him here, as he renews us here, he also sends us forth, right? Go forth, the mass is ended. He sends us forth into his world to bring the love that he's given us here to life in a world that so desperately needs it.